Good morning. My lesson today was kind of recycled from Wednesday night from a couple weeks ago, and I apologize to the men that attended that lesson. But also, I wanted to thank you, those of you that are not coming on Wednesday night. You're missing out big time, especially with the young men that are giving presentations. Not to giving any credit to myself, but to those that are presenting the lesson, and also the adult classes that are being offered here. The men's class yesterday was extremely powerful and wonderful that Ben presented that, and the lesson before with Jeremy. Well, we're going to turn back to the life of Mephibosheth. And David cares for Mephibosheth, and it's kind of a strange relationship that David has with Mephibosheth, because Mephibosheth is crippled. And while David's reigning, he takes on Mephibosheth, and he brings him to his table. He fulfills a promise by having Mephibosheth, a crippled young man, perhaps around 15 years or so, to stay with him until the end of his reign, and to enjoy with him the presence at the king's table, which is quite an honor. An honor not deserving of Mephibosheth. But we'll get into that. I have a timeline up here, and I know you can't see it back there beyond the fourth row. Timelines are man's manufactured way of trying to figure out when events occurred. And I see some flaws in the timeline, because there are other copies of timelines that are a little bit different than this one. But I chose this one because of 1 Samuel 13 gives a good reference point. And you're going to be amazed at something that you probably not ever were aware of. I mean, I wasn't. I was completely floored when I found this out. Well, in 1 Samuel 13, verse 1, it says, Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereupon 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent, every man to his tent. Made reference to that passage because, according to this timeline, Jonathan was born at a point in time when, after Saul was in battles, this would have made Jonathan perhaps between 15 to 18 years old. Well, let's get into our charts here. Okay, I'm offering this timeline on the board here so that you can make up for what you can't see here. So we're looking at a timeline from 1082 B.C., the birth of Saul, to the death of David at 970 B.C. A lot of territory to cover, believe me. I'm most interested in the life of Mephibosheth, but I'm drawing up some pathways so that we have an understanding. My adult study coming up in October will be on the earlier version of this, so we won't be another repeat of Mephibosheth, although I love the story here. 1102 B.C. on the timeline here, Samuel is born. Samuel is called at the death of Eli at age 8. So at age 8, he becomes a judge. Can you imagine your 8-year-old being a judge at age 8? So 1094, we have a period of time where Samuel is called at the death of Eli. 1082, Saul is born, the son of Kish. Kish raised donkeys, and Saul was chosen because they had lost some donkeys, and he had to go out and find them. Well, he couldn't find them. He searched everywhere for these donkeys, and he came upon Samuel, who happened to actually had this plan so that he could anoint Saul king of all things. And Saul himself was at an early age. So Saul's first son, an oldest son, Jonathan, is born. His oldest son is born. So based on this timeline, we find that Jonathan born at 1067. Saul was born 15 years prior to that. So Saul was about 30 years old when he became king of Israel. So that would make Jonathan about 15 years old. You're going to not believe this, but in 1040, David was born. Now, according to this timeline, David was born when Saul was 27 years, or no, yeah, when Jonathan was 27 years old. Now, in my Sunday school class, I had believed that Jonathan and David were very close on age. Well, some of the timelines indicate a 10-year difference, Jonathan being 10 years older, or another timeline says that he's 18 years older. But this timeline, with Samuel's account, indicates that he was perhaps as old as 27 years older than David. So that kind of gives you, wow, Jonathan had been around a while before David was born. And this is important as we get into our lesson. 1052, Saul begins reign as the first king of Israel, anointed by Samuel. 1040, David is born to Jesse. 1025, David kills Goliath. And I know I'm fast-forwarding through a lot of lessons here, but again, my focus is on Mephibosheth. Well, David, of course, is the youngest of eight boys from Jesse. Jesse's family raises sheep. Saul's family raised donkeys. And we know the lesson there where Samuel is anointing David because Saul had messed up big time. Saul had lost favor with God because of some irreparable damage that he caused. And one of the damages was there was a battle between the Amalekites, and Saul was instructed to utterly destroy the Amalekites. And instead of doing that, he decided to save the king Agag, and he also kept a choice cattle claiming to be for worship, to worship the Lord with these cattle. Well, Saul messed up because he was to utterly destroy every man, woman, and child, all of the spoils, including the gold, including the cattle, and including the king. So Samuel came to Saul, and Saul, expecting good measure from Samuel, saying, "Hey, I did everything that God told me." And Samuel says, "What do I hear? The bleating of sheep?" And from that point on, the Holy Spirit departed Saul. Samuel was charged to go out and find another king. And of course, we know the lesson here where David was chosen among the eight sons of Jesse. And of course, the sons of Jesse were presented towards Saul, towards David, towards Samuel. And as they were presented, it was, the bigger sons were ignored. And then, of course, they chose David, who is the lesser one, out feeding the sheep. They said, "You have another son besides these seven?" "Well, we have, David. He's out feeding the sheep. We want to see him." And so Samuel anointed him in front of his other sons. So you have the anointing of David. Now, a point where David becomes the armor bearer of Saul. Of course, this happens because he defeated the monster Goliath. Remember, the giant was taunting Saul. Saul could not get through to the Philistines because of this monster Goliath was killing everybody. Well, who did they choose? Well, they couldn't find anybody, but they recommended, send David. David, he's 15 years old at this point in time. And so, Samuel encouraged Saul to David, David's a guy. So David kills Goliath. Amazing, amazing lesson there. And sorry that I'm fast-forwarding through this lesson because it's amazing in itself. October 8th, we're going to cover it. So at that point in time, Saul becomes vexed with the Spirit because the Holy Spirit had left Saul, but it had entered David. And in place of the Holy Spirit was a vexing spirit. And David, the armor bearer, was there to console Saul because he played the harp. And they asked him, "Is there anyone here that can play music well?" And it just happened to be the very armor bearer, David. Well, so David remains in the temple for 7 years. Not the temple, but the Gilboa, where Saul's palace is. And he tries to comfort and soothe Saul. And during this time, though, Saul gets intensely angry at David. And it's not sure that he knows that David's the anointed one, but he has feelings against him, and the music can no longer console him. And it gets to the point where Saul is trying to kill David. So what does Saul do? He puts David in command. Go out there and kill some Philistines and you're at the front line. So David goes out of the front line. He kills tens of thousands of Philistines. He does nothing wrong. So David is mighty. And David develops a reputation in the land. Well, Saul kills thousands. Man, can you believe that? Saul kills thousands. But David kills tens of thousands. And this gets back to Saul and it just enrages him more. So Saul does a few things. He has David marry. Supposed to be marry his first daughter. David's supposed to marry his first daughter, but Saul changes the arrangement and he ends up marrying his youngest daughter because he knows his youngest daughter has issues and is kind of mad in the head, kind of like David. Well, his youngest daughter falls in love with David. And David and them have a perfect, sort of perfect relationship. And this angers Saul even more because David has consoled his youngest daughter and he expected the worst to happen. So you know that a lot of things are happening with Saul. He's backtracking on his word on many cases. He's lost favor in the Lord more than once. He consorts with mediums after the death of Samuel to try to figure out why all these Philistines are surrounding his palace. And he wants to know how to defeat them. And he's asking Samuel, even though Samuel is dead, he's asking him, hey, how come the Lord is not speaking with me anymore? Well, Samuel, of course, reveals while in death that, Saul, remember, you have lost favor with the Lord. And, you're in peril. So this angers Saul even more. There's another big lesson there, and I'm sorry to fast forward through that. Okay, so Saul is after David now, and through an arrangement with Jonathan, his oldest son, who is 27 years older than him, at the time of Goliath, Jonathan had handed over his robe to David. And so the lesson there is that Jonathan was he was the next in line for Saul, but he recognized that David had the Spirit, had the Holy Spirit. And so they became friends and they had a bond between them. So David did what he could. He evaded Saul in the process. The armies were after David. David did not touch Saul. David would not kill the anointed one. Samuel dies at 10:40, and then we talked about the witches at Endura. Well, in 10:10, David becomes king in Hebron because that was the death of Saul and Jonathan. They were both killed in battle. And there's another good story there. I don't have a lot of time to talk about it yet. But the death of Saul and Jonathan occurs, and of course David is devastated at the loss of Jonathan. It's interesting to note that David has slain three of Jonathan's brothers and has decimated the house of Saul, but he would not touch the king himself. So as we come to Mephibosheth, we realize that Mephibosheth is fearful of David. David learns about Mephibosheth because David made a promise with Jonathan. And during that promise, he said, Jonathan, I will take care of your family if something happens to you in battle. And David finds out that Jonathan has a son, Mephibosheth. Now, there's another Mephibosheth who is an uncle, was one of the brothers that was killed in battle, that was a brother of Jonathan. But this is the younger Mephibosheth. David learns about Mephibosheth, and he decides, well, I'm going to take care of him. Well, Saul kills the priest at Nob for giving David and his men bread from the temple, and they also gave David the sword from Goliath. And because of that, Saul was relentless in his killing. But after Saul has perished, we find that David learns about Mephibosheth, and he takes him in, and of course we find that Mephibosheth is fearful now. I'm going to go to 2 Samuel. We're going to read our passages here, 2 Samuel 9, and we'll learn about Mephibosheth here with the remainder of our study. David said, is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was one of the house of Saul, a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness to God unto him? Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. It's interesting because Mephibosheth became lame from fleeing from David. While they were in battle against Saul, and Saul was battling with David, Mephibosheth at around age 5 years old fell from a horse and both of his legs were broken and became lame. And behold, he is in the house of Mature, the son of Amiel in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Mature, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold thy servant. Mephibosheth is fearful because he knows. What happens with kings? What happens with their families? They're probably going to torture me more. They're going to exile me, or they're going to starve me. And Mephibosheth is living in squalor. He is a cripple. Although he does have Ziba as a close friend and a contact. Now David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat the bread at my table continually. And this is because of a promise that Jonathan made to David. He bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou should look upon such a dead dog as I? This is Mephibosheth describing himself. What am I? I'm crippled. I can't do anything for you. I'm a dead dog. Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and all to his house, that thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring the fruits of thy master's son, may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, my master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons. Can you imagine Ziba having 15 sons? And 20 servants. These are at the beck and call now of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth is being raised to glory by David. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelled in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both of his feet. What a lesson. What a lesson. It's amazing. The grace of David allowing Mephibosheth to eat forever with him at his table and give him servants and everything. And the property of Saul. He was given Saul's palace. And so this was afforded just for being a cripple, just for being the son of Jonathan. David was well into his promise of taking care of Jonathan's family after battle. It's important to note, of course, my Wednesday night talk talked about the value of keeping promises and how a promise made is a promise kept. Saul relented on his promises. Saul was supposed to give Jesse free taxes because of David killing Goliath, but that didn't happen. Saul relented several times, and God understood that Saul, in his heart, was not right. And therefore, that's why his presence left Saul and went to David. So the lesson here is Mephibosheth. A dead dog coming to the table of David. So, what do we have to offer the king? What do you have to bring to the table to offer the king? to the Lord? What do you have to offer the Lord? What do I have to offer the Lord? I am that cripple. You are under the sins of life. You are that cripple. What can we bring to the Lord? Do we have riches? Do we have a famous name? Do we have a lot of wealth? Did we invent something? Did we cause something to happen that brought us to the Lord, that helped mankind? What did we bring to the Lord? We are Mephibosheth. So the Lord knows our hearts, and that's what He wants. He wants our hearts. He doesn't want our gold. He doesn't want our false promises. But He knows our hearts. And that's where we need to change. We need to change because Mephibosheth, he was granted that service because of his name. However, we're not granted that kind of service. We have to prove ourselves. So what can you do to prove yourself? Dedicate your life to the Lord? Or bring sons and daughters to the Lord? Bring your family up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Talk to friends and neighbors. Bring them to the table of David. Bring them to the Lord. So we know what we need to do. So we need to do it. Plan of salvation is there. Hear the word. Faith cometh from hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17. We need to believe. We need to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2:11. We need to repent of our sins. We need to clear our free and filthy minds that we're attacked with. We need to put aside all the filthiness and the bad TV shows that we watch and the dirty jokes that we hear. We need to put all that aside. We need to cleanse ourselves. We need to ask the Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God. We need to repent of those sins. And then we need to be baptized. Acts 2:38, many were baptized. We need to continue to live faithfully. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Remember Mephibosheth, the dead dog, who has granted grace unto the king's table. We can have that same grace if only we obey and we learn from the Lord. Keep ourselves holy if we can. Bring others to the table. This is my lesson today. And we see Mephibosheth the cripple enjoying the fruits of the labor of King David. They're enemies at one time, but now they're close friends. So if you're subject in any way of the Lord's invitation, we offer that now as we stand.